Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. It's good to be here with all of you. And a few announcements. Let me start off with the order of service. Will be divine service setting 3, and that is beginning on page 184. The hymns for today, opening hymn 610, Lord Jesus, Think on Me. Hymn of the day, 534, Lord Enthroned in Heavenly Splendor. Distribution hymns 645, Built on the Rock, 724, If God Himself Before Me, 803, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Closing hymn 917, Savior Again, To Thy Dear Name We Raise. And also a reminder, especially for our guests, we now have the insert with the propers and the yellow sheet, so when we sing the intro and the gradual, you can readily find that. Let's see. I want to encourage you to invite people to our annual worship in the park with the picnic in the park that follows. That's coming up. I was going to write the date down. August 25th. Thank you, Melissa. And that's at Irvine, the main pavilion. It's just a good opportunity to invite somebody. Of course, in my opinion, any time's a good opportunity, but maybe a special time. August 25th, we'll have our 9 a.m. service here. Then 10:30, we'll have another service at Irvine at the main pavilion, followed by a potluck picnic. Also, we have the sign up to visit the neighborhood. I don't expect everybody to sign up. One or two at a time is what we're looking for. But if you would pray for those of us who go out and visit, that would be much appreciated, and we'll get to see how much fruit that bears. So please pray for those visits. Also, speaking of prayer, we'll include the family of Tammy Jenke, Justin's aunt. Today. She just passed, so we will pray for her family in our prayers today. That's all. Let's begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I may have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We grab that yellow insert and sing together the intro it.
Us. Glory be to God on high.
We praise thee. Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19. The sermon today is based on this text. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. And he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual. The epistle is from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened, their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are neighbors one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor
and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all he has given me, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Enough. Enough. That's what Elijah cries out to the Lord. He's on a journey after witnessing this dramatic display of God's power, the slaying of hundreds of these prophets of Baal. He's afraid. He's running for his life. Despite this, you know, that's happened, he's afraid because Queen Jezebel has sent a messenger threatening Elijah's life. You'll be dead by tomorrow, she says. So he's afraid. He goes into the wilderness alone, sat down under a broom tree, and he tells the Lord he's had enough. He asks the Lord to take his life. And his prayer starts with that single word, enough. I'd like to refresh you on some of this backstory, some of this context. Ahab is king of Israel. This is after the split of you know, Judah and Israel. And we're told Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Ahab was eighth king of Israel after this split of the kingdom, you know, after King Solomon's son, the kingdom split. Marrying Jezebel was one of the things that provoked the Lord. She was a worshiper of Baal, and Ahab established this Baal worship in Israel. Well, Elijah goes to King Ahab, and he tells Ahab to gather all Israel and gather the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. The prophets, the people gather, and Elijah proposes what you might call a showdown, right? Between his God, the true God, and their so-called God, you know, Baal. And he gives them the option. He said, you guys go first. We're going to, you know, have a burnt offering, and is it just the thing is, your God has to provide the fire, you know, so go ahead and prepare your bowl and set up the wood and then call your God. And so that's what they do, and Elijah is so confident. I mean, he's outright mocking these prophets. He's got the audience, you know, the people of Israel there. And he said, well, you know, is he relieving himself? What's the matter? Where is he? Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. Why don't you cry louder? And so they're really making an effort. And they're cutting themselves, so there's blood flowing, and they're crying out and raving. They're raving. And no one answered. You know, so the text says, no response, no one answered. Then Elijah's turn and he prepares the bowl and the wood, and to really make an extra spectacle, you know, he's having it doused with water. The water's just flowing, and there's a trench around that's filled up with the water, you know, to make it extra evident that there is one God. And then picking up verse 36 of chapter 18, it says, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Let no one of them escape. And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there. Pretty bold, pretty confident, pretty evident that God, the Lord, of Israel, Yahweh is God. The people witnessed it. They confessed the Lord is God. Those wicked prophets are slaughtered. They're gone. And so you would think, well, that would sustain you for a while, your confidence in God. Pretty clear. You would think that would give you strength for a little while. And yet, as soon as Elijah's life is threatened, his faith fails. And he's afraid. He ran for his life, and that's where we pick up in our text. But maybe you've had this happen in your life, you know, where your faith is so sure. In one moment, you're very confident in our God, the one true God. He's proven himself. It's evident. There's no question. And then something happens. Your faith fails. And you feel like giving up even. But you're afraid. It can happen where you simply leave church, content, at peace. Joy is in your heart, and yet something happens, and all of a sudden you wonder, oh, where are you, God? Well, it happened right away with Elijah. Jezebel wasn't changed by this evidence. She didn't believe the Lord to be the true God. Sent a messenger to threaten Elijah, and so he's afraid and runs for his life. Now, notice that if Elijah just wants his life to end, he could simply stay there and let Jezebel end his life. No, instead he ran on foot. He went alone into the wilderness to ask God to take his life. He commends his life to God. Now Elijah's had enough. He's discouraged. He's disappointed. He pours out his heart to God. He can't do it anymore. This great prophet who's done so much in service to God, he can't do it anymore. And God heard his prayer, but he doesn't answer the way Elijah asks. What does God do to this scared man, this quitter, this runaway? What does God do? Well, God lets Elijah sleep. Then God came to Elijah personally. The angel of the Lord is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He comes to Elijah, who's sleeping under the broom tree, and he prepares a cake baked on the hot stones, and he collects a jar of water, and he sets these by Elijah. He touches Elijah, says, arise and eat. So Elijah does. He gets up, eats, drinks, goes back to sleep. The angel of the Lord came again, a second time, and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The angel of the Lord came a second time, again preparing food and water. Again touches Elijah, says, arise and eat. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say anything like, you can do this. It's not that bad. You've been through worse, you know. Come on, show people how strong you are. He doesn't say anything like that at all. No, he says, the journey is too great for you. The journey is too great for you. Forty days and 40 nights. It's another 200 miles to Mount Horeb, better known as Mount Sinai. Well, on the strength of that simple meal and those words, he went those 200 miles. They went those 40 days, 40 nights. Actually, there, the Lord came to Elijah and instructed him and encouraged Elijah in his work, and he assured Elijah that there were many others. He was far from alone in his faithful service. God knew that Elijah had had enough. He went to him as he was, discouraged, disappointed, giving up. And the Lord knew what he needed, and he provided it. And it was so simple. It was a touch, a few words, a simple meal. The Lord provides Elijah all that he needs for this journey, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Maybe you've had that feeling like you've had enough, like you want to give up. Maybe you've even said words similar like, Lord, just please bring me home. Take my life. I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. Too hard. You know, taking care of my family. It's too hard. Just living. It's too hard. Being faithful. Well, you are his baptized child. You know he hears you when you pray to him as your dear father. You know he hears you. And he knows that you've had enough. And he knows exactly what you need. And he does send you people. He sends people into your life who provide exactly what you need. It may be through simple gestures, simple words. It may be a gentle touch or a simple meal. It may be some encouragement. The Lord knows what you need and promises to provide for all your needs of body and soul. And you know he comes to you here in the divine service. The same one who attended to Elijah, the same one who attended to him in the wilderness is here for you. He comes to you with a few words and what appears to be a simple meal to give you strength and encouragement to continue your journey, the journey that he set you on, the journey that he's with you on. Jesus himself is the one who's borne what is too much for us. You remember he endured 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness facing every temptation, but he never sinned. But on the cross, he took away your sins. All the sins of the world were placed upon him. He took them away, took away the consequences of our sins, including our fears, our failures, our worries about what other people think, worries about what other people will do. He took away consequences of our running away in fear of conflict, our desires to give up, our thinking that everything depends on us, that I can do this, our lack of faith in the one true God. Jesus bore all that which is too much for us. And he suffered and died in our place on the cross. And while there, hanging on the cross, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Similar to Elijah, you know, giving his life into the hands of God, Christ commended himself into the Father's hands. He then rose and gave us his strength that we may continue that on that journey that he has set before us. When Jesus said from the cross, it is finished, he was saying, it's enough. It's accomplished all that is necessary for these, my children, to to come into the presence of God in eternity, it's enough. It's been done. And Jesus comes to you in the Holy Supper. He himself, Christ himself, is the meal. He is the bread of life. He is life itself. He is the meal to sustain you, to provide all that you need. Christ himself is the strength for the journey. And he is enough. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stay. You may be seated as the offering is gathered. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you sent your Son to be the bread of life, giving eternal life to all who come to him. By your Holy Spirit, lead the whole church on earth to imitate you and walk in your love as beloved children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give strength and courage to all pastors and those who assist them, especially those suffering from conflict, burnout, or depression. Hearten them by the example of Elijah and the prophets and apostles before them. Comfort them through the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, through holy baptism, you have joined the faithful together as your children, making us brothers in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us grace to believe that through Christ we belong to one another. Lead us to put away all falsehood and malice, and instead to speak Christ's truth to one another in love. Lord, in your mercy, bless all families and homes that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers for our nation. Cause us to live in harmony with one another and free our citizens from want, suffering, danger, and fear. Lord, in your mercy, show kindness to those who are grieving, including the family of Tammy Janke, and kindness to the sick, including Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Jesse, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, Ben, and Jeff. Never let them be in doubt that you hear their prayers. Relieve all pain and provide for those who suffer from any kind of hardship. Lord, in your mercy. Bless those who commune this day that reconcile to each other in Christ's body and blood. They may rejoice to receive your forgiveness through this precious gift, be strengthened in times of doubt, and be nourished in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be the bread of life. Together with all the faithful who have gone before us, we give you thanks and praise. Keep us steadfast in the faith, so that when our last hour comes, we may rejoice with them at the marriage feast in his kingdom, which has no end. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City.